The book of Luke chapter 14, let's start from there. It's just another place where it's recorded what the Lord Jesus said concerning us being the salt of the earth. He said, therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. What do we do with it? All we do is to throw it out. Now, this is just one portion of the scriptures where we can easily see what the Lord was talking about when he spoke about being salt of the earth, which we read from the book of Matthew chapter 5. Let's just go back there briefly. The book of Matthew chapter 5. There in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? He says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. He now says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But what they do is to put it on the lampstand. The purpose is so that it gives its light to all who are in the house. He said in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let's stop reading here. Now I just brought this to continue what we have been talking about, the issue of the increase of the kingdom of God on the earth. My emphasis is to explain our own part, our participation in making that thing come to pass. Now listen to this. I just want to review it again for a minute or two. Let me not be like a broken down record, but then we have to keep saying these things until people fully understand and believe them. God cannot do anything on this earth that will bless people. He cannot fulfill his purpose on this earth unless we participate. I said to us last time, all the prayers we have prayed for a place like our country will not be effective unless God finds people to use. God always raises an army. Let me say that again. He always raises an army. He has to, or otherwise what he wants to do will not be done. We read from that book of Revelation chapter 17 that even though his purpose, all right, is, well, of course, the ultimate goal is that he overcome the beast, all right? But the beast is fighting on this earth using certain principles. And that is that the kings of the earth will give their power and the authority to the beast. That's what Obama is doing. No, really, that's an example. You see somebody like Barack Obama going out supporting the entrenchment of perversion as normal. I call that a simple example of giving your power and your authority to the beast. That's what you are doing. When you start promoting an agenda that is against God, that's what you are doing. You must understand that principle. And that's the only way Satan wins. That is the only way Satan wins. God gives people authority in life. He makes you the head of a company. He blesses you. You have ideas, dreams. God builds you up. It gets to a level that you have hundreds of thousands of people working under you. You have become a king of some sort. Now, whether that thing will promote the kingdom of God or promote the agenda of the beast depends on you. When you start promoting the agenda of Satan, you are giving your power and your authority to the beast. God will promote you in life. He will make you a governor, make you a minister, a commissioner, a senator, you know, a minister of the gospel. Now, get what I'm saying? The head of a church that has thousands of members. The question is, what are you promoting? You're either working for the Lord or you are giving your power and your authority to the beast. That's just the way it works. That's the principle behind it. And that's how these people are going to win. That is, either the Lord wins or the beast will win. Now, but the Bible gives us the end of the matter. And that is that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to overcome. But my emphasis is that the only way by which he overcomes is because he's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. It's only because those kings and lords give their own power and their authority to the Lord, that is how he wins. Which means, therefore, whatever God wants to do on this earth, if you and I do not cooperate, it will not get done. I just need to keep emphasizing it. It will not get done. You want Nigeria or any country you are listening to this from to change, you are crucial to the change. You cannot, and I must continue to explain that. Because we're talking about it being salt of the earth. You cannot, all right, continue doing things wrongly and expect right to happen. You are one of the people that are important. You know, I said something the other day that David Paulson made a, now, I cannot quote the number he gave because he gave the reason why he gave that. I heard one of his other messages where he said why he said what he said. All right, so I can now quote it. He said you need 5% of committed Christians in a society for the effect of salt to be felt. I said that is because they did a study. This was based on research. They did some analysis and found out that any society that has just 5% of committed Christians, evil cannot spread. It's not because they are preaching. It's just because they are not participating. It's not because they are preaching. It's just because their presence, the aura that comes out of their soul into the environment, the spiritual signals that they emit, the spiritual energy that they pump into the environment has a way of retarding evil from spreading in the land. Very, very important, all right? So we are very crucial. That's what we are talking about. Last time I said that Satan, understanding this, what he tries to do is to pollute us. That's the only thing he can do. I like to say this all the time. We have a situation around in which many Christians, based because of their own personal ignorance, which is always a result of the ignorance of the people that teach them. That's why when you are praying, always pray for the pastors, the teachers, the ministers in the body of Christ. Without them, things are going to be bad, all right? The main problem in the body of Christ is always the problem of preachers. If they keep on preaching what is wrong, the general population of Christians will not know anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the Christians, because they don't understand truth, all right, they keep on thinking that Satan has power. They wake up at night praying against the work of the devil. Let me say to you, he doesn't have that kind of power. The only direct power he has against you is the power of temptation. He doesn't have any other power. Any other power that he gets, he has to get, all right, by virtue of what you have done that is wrong. The only thing he can come to you directly to do is to tempt you. Nothing else. Nothing else. He has to come to you and tempt and say to you, bow to me. All right? It's when you refuse to bow, all right, that you win over him. When you bow, he gains power over your life. Until you bow to him, he does not have any power. You do not have to pray about him. Please, I'm digressing now, but I need to digress. We need to keep saying these things until people fully understand. One of our sisters the other day, she was chatting with me and was telling me about her service, the church she went to over the weekend, that's last Sunday. Not her normal church, but she just came to that town for that day and went to church. And she, in fact, she was so upset, she started contacting me. She used to be here with us. She was so upset. Now I called him and said, Augustine, what didn't happen? I said, what happened? That a man came to their church. I said, listen, it's all about money. Don't worry about these things. That is, she was disappointed that the pastor allowed it. The man was talking about raised altars. Now listen to what I want to bring out. The man said, do you know how much money Balak spent raising altars for Balaam? Now, do you know it's true? 7 bullocks. By the time, you know how much one number be? To slaughter a whole cow. And when you do 7, I know they went up many times. They will go from one vantage point and say, I'm not seeing properly. Maybe because of the spiritual angle we are approaching the matter from, it's not working. Raise me another 7 altars. And they will slaughter 7 bulls. Ah, it's money. Try go, just slaughter 1 bull. So the man was now saying, which makes a lot of sense, okay? He now said that, you see, you too, you have to rise up and raise altars. And you have to be ready, that's the point, to spend like that so that you will overcome the altars. As if it is money for money. Please, tell your neighbor that's foolishness. Oh. Please say it again. Say it's foolishness. Real foolishness. My wife and I analyzed it. I said, the man just jumped one scripture. Which shows that when Balaam was saying there is no enchantment possible against Jacob, Israel was sleeping. I don't know whether I get my point. You don't seem to get it. What were they doing? They said they were camped like flocks of goats. They were not sacrificing anything. Why are you now making it look like Balak sacrificed and that their return sacrifice? That's why it didn't work against them. The reason why they didn't work against them was because they were people of God, period. Their own sacrifices were prescribed. It was not competing with Balak. And their own sacrifice for us now is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now, why I digress into that? People start fighting devil on very wrong premises.
Well, how should they be fighting the devil? That's the point I'm making. The devil is not here to cast a spell against you. He knows he cannot. You are the one that thinks he can. The witches know they can't. They know. The only thing they do all the time, that's the point I'm making. The only power Satan has is temptation. When they say, that man is too powerful. He's disturbing our kingdom. You heard all those kind of stories. Somebody said when the occult, one pastor came to town, he was disturbing their kingdom. What can they do against him? Nothing. The only thing they can do is say, what do we do against this man? Because God allows them some leeway sometimes, some power to tempt. All right, so you know what do? They start with, there are only two basic things you can use to tempt a man. It's money and sex. Okay, power, thank you. That's the third one. Yes. Yes, it's money, sex, and power. Those are the three things. Thank you very much. God bless you. So that's all they come to do. One man will come to him and say, this your church is growing very well. Let's help you consolidate it. Once he falls for that, he's dead meat. What does he mean by consolidation? Rewrite the constitution, block all the powers. You understand? Power, you don't do things so that you can manipulate people that you are the only man ever. That's one. That one doesn't work. They are the only other to say, you see, your mates have more beautiful churches. Look at what you are doing. See, you are running a ministry like this. So the money is not enough. When you price the equipment, first of all, I was at an equipment shop yesterday. I asked a man, how much is this speaker? I said, 1 million for one. I said, now I understand. I said, thank God I don't do a ministry where they play music. You know? that's what Satan does to people. When you suddenly see me, your messages will change. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. How do you build without money? Who will build with the Lord today? The Lord looking like, what's wrong with this boy? Now, just by the way, this is how Satan gets authority. Are you getting my point? This is how Satan gains power against people. You'll soon read my little book I'm working on now, titled Don't Quit the Army. I'm going to outline those things in there. This is how people lose power. You don't realize, very subtle. You now start coming up with arguments like, you know, after all, I'm not taking the money home. That's not the point. You are twisting the word of God. And Satan knows. That's the second one, money. Sometimes it is you that need the money. Every pastor too, they are going abroad. They are carrying their children. And you, nobody ever gave you money to even go to Asaba with your children. Are you getting my point? Those are the things we are talking about. These are the things we are talking about. Listen, let me tell you something. You must take the vow of poverty if you want to succeed in this life, in anything that you do. Go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. There's a chapter there titled The Vow of Poverty. It doesn't mean you'll be poor, but it means that material things must not matter to you. If you have them, use them. If you don't have them, bless God and keep on moving. That if you want to succeed in life, you need that. Satan tries that, it doesn't work. The only other thing he has is sex. There's no other thing. He will have a woman come and see you later at night when you stop putting yourself in situations where problems will arise. Do you get my point? That's all. Listen, any man that Satan doesn't get on these three things is permanently safe. They can't cast a spell except they pass through these three things. That's the point I want you to understand. That is, if you can avoid those things I've mentioned, you are fine. That is all. You are fine. Satan cannot. The word is what? Cannot. No witch. All right? They cannot. Cast a spell against a child of God. The only thing they can do is tempt. It's only, and let me tell you something about it. Even Satan understands. The first time a child of God falls for those things, God takes it upon himself to discipline the person to correction. When a child of God now persists in his ways, persists in her ways, that is when Satan gets the grip. What am I trying to emphasize? Don't worry about, you know, Christians worry too much about praying about the devil. And that's what I keep on saying. I don't do it. I can't remember doing that in decades, literally. Why? It's unnecessary. I don't raise any altar against anybody. Raise any altar you like against me is your problem. The only altar, all right, in my life is, you know what I mean? My life has been given to Christ totally. I'm a living sacrifice. Do you understand? I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is all. I can't raise an altar against witches, raise an altar against enemies, raise an altar. It's on, people just, you know, they bring this ignorance into prominence these days, and it is sad. But the main thing, let me get back to my main message. What Satan is really trying to do is to pollute people. That's what I've been trying to explain. And that is one area we must focus on. It is that pollution that is the strength of the enemy. Now, please, that's where I'm continuing from. That's where we ended last time. There was something I said last time. I just want to, you know, make that statement again to use to continue. Remember, before I make that statement, we've been saying that there are two ways to promote the kingdom of God on the earth. There is the active way and there is the passive way. The passive one is what we've been talking about. We'll get to the active one later. The passive one is, it appears easier, but it's actually the more difficult one. What is it? What I mean by easier? You don't really have to do anything per se in actively trying to push the kingdom forward. You just need to remain pure as a child of God. And that is the main way you promote the kingdom. You know, let me just read that statement I told you I wanted to make, that I made last time. I made a statement last time that it's total deception to think, this is an example, you can take money gotten by methods of the world and use it to preach the gospel. If you do that, you have missed the point. The truth is that a polluted hand can only strengthen the agenda of the devil. I want to explain that again further today as I go on. Listen to me, this is a mistake a lot of Christians make. They steal money, they give a portion, and they still start telling themselves that as long as I'm giving to the gospel, it is okay. I have heard this thing preached many times. I've heard a man say before, it doesn't matter that it is blood money. If you bring it, we will wash it with a bigger blood. And I thought, is this guy joking? I mean, you know, there are things you hear, you wonder, is this man serious? Does he want God to take time out to punish him, you know? Are you begging to be made an example? Because I do not believe that a Christian can stand on the platform where you are issuing forth the word of God and say that even if it is blood money, don't worry, we will wash it with a bigger blood. It is not true. If you go and read under the old covenant, there are places they will get to. God says, take nothing out of the place. Kill man, woman, children, animal, burn everything, gold, silver, toss them into the fire. I don't want anything out of that place. Some things can be that polluted. Listen, let me emphasize it again. There was a time Paul was preaching and a young girl was supporting his ministry. Listen, as a preacher, it is not every kind of support that is good. A young girl was supporting his ministry, how? Declaring, doing publicity for them free of charge. But at the end of the day, we know what was she doing. She was casting a spell on the people. Her words were deadening the ears of people, so that their hearts would be hardened against the gospel that Paul was preaching. Paul had to descend that and cast the demon out. But the point I want to bring out is that this is how it is. The method by which you get something, the way you live your life, affects the gospel you claim you are preaching. If you use stolen money to build a building for God, that building will never bless anybody. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? With God, what we are is more important than what we do. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize to Christians. What you are is more important than what you do. You must ensure that you are the right person. I said it last time. If you are right, then God can do anything he wants to do through your life. Let me give a quotation from the message by David Paulson that I've been quoting quite a bit in recent times. He said, what God wants, you know, God is very good. Amen. As if he knew I was going to preach this message. So I just started stumbling on messages that, although I think there's a spiritual principle behind it anyway, I started stumbling on messages that are saying these things that we're about to start preaching on, you understand? So I listened to this during the week. I had to stop to write it down. The man said, what God wants now in this nation, was talking about the UK, and this generation, I added that this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people who are pure and blameless, and who can prove that you can live in this world a clean and upright and decent life.
He said, the thing that God wants more from his church is not that they do something, but that they should be something. He said, God is not looking first of all for an evangelizing people or a serving people. He is looking first of all for a holy people who will represent his holiness in the world and shine like stars in a dark and dim world. It is more important than your office that you are known for your Christian character, for the purity of your words and your actions, than you are known for being the preacher in the place. There's one man my wife had some business dealing with some years ago. This man, if he says good morning, you have to check whether the son is actually planning to come out. Nothing he says is true. The first day my wife went to his, because they used to talk on the phone. The first day my wife went to look for his office, this was in Lagos, everybody says, oh, you are looking for pastor. You are looking for pastor. So I said, this guy is pastor. I don't know what you get what I'm saying. In the market, they call the man pastor. Why? He leads the devotion in the market. But those who do business with him know that this man is not true. That is, he's very dishonest. Once I had to buy something from a man in this town. When I got to his office, I said, I'm looking for such and such person. He said, you mean pastor? I said, he's a pastor. You know why I was surprised? In the whole place, they call him pastor. First, if you see his appearance, well, anybody can be pastor, amen? When I saw his hair, I thought this guy would be more like, P-Square, you know, that kind of thing. God looks at the heart, amen? So let's not say anything. The next thing I was telling somebody, say, I see one guy today, they said, I'm a pastor. So the person I was talking to said, who? I described him. He said, where do you see him? I told him. He said, he's supposed to be abroad. I said, no. I saw him just down the road. He said, listen, that fellow you said you saw, he's supposed to be abroad. Now, this is interesting about this man's story. He's married with children somewhere in another city. And he came to this city and promised to marry another woman and impregnated that woman. And he was now telling her that he's not in town. And he's the pastor of a church. His wife is there, his children are there. And he was deceiving that one that he's abroad. Such people, you know what they do? We are working for God. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Pack up that work for God is unnecessary. You are creating more hindrance to the advancement of the gospel by that one that you are doing. David Paulson said, what God needs, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, in this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people, people who are pure and blameless, and who can prove that you can live in this world a clean, upright, and decent life. You know, one of the things, in fact, my main message for today, all right, because we keep on saying these things again and again so that they print in people's hearts. My main message for today, actually, when I was preparing for it, is something I've said here in recent times, which I need to emphasize, and that is control over your belief system. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Somebody sent me a picture, you know, the way we send things around on WhatsApp and all of that these days. And what did they say inside there? He said, you know you are really blind. Now listen to this. He said, you know you are really blind when you can't see anything wrong with what God says it is sin. Now if God says something is an abomination and you say it's just a choice for an adult, then you are blind. If God says something is wrong, it is sin. You say this is Nigeria. There's no other way to live apart from doing this. Then you are blind. That you are really blind when you can't see that something God says is a sin. You say you can't see that it is wrong. A man, I was sitting down somewhere one day, and a man said to me that, why is the church? That's when the other Pope Benedict, first took office. And they were complaining that the man is a conservative. And that man said that, why should the church teach people how to live their lives? They should just teach people about God. You know, sometimes human beings are so foolish, the only way you can do they relate with them, you just disconnect. I looked at the man, I made up my mind, you're not worthy of being answered. And he's an intellectual. That fellow is totally blind. I'm going somewhere. Remember, we said something about being salt of the earth. Being salt of the earth is salt. Salt doesn't have to do anything to do its function. We read from that book of Luke to show exactly what salt does. Salt is used to fertilize the earth so that, I mean, if you know a bit of agriculture, all right, I learned that one, and my father taught me that, all right, as a child. I was in secondary school. We had those NPK. There's 15, 15, 15, 30, there's 20, 10, 0, different combinations. Yeah, you know that, all right? Fertilizer is salt. I mean, when we're young, those days, if you put salt on an earthworm, it breaks up. The same thing happens with fertilizer. If you put fertilizer on it, the same thing happens, all right? When it's concentrated. So fertilizer is actually salt, all right? And that was the context in which the Lord Jesus was speaking. When he says that it's not good for the earth, that Luke chapter 14, in that portion of Luke that we read, all right? Now, that's salt fertilizes the earth so that good can grow. Then salt in the dunghill is used to prevent decay from spreading. Now, what am I saying? Good grows. The emphasis of the Lord Jesus, let me quickly lay emphasis there, is that we must be pure as salt. And that's what I am talking about. Good grows, not because we are preaching, that's what I want to emphasize, but because we refuse to participate with the world in what they do. The number one place where that participation starts, that's my message, is from how we think. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? He said, we are casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen. In fact, I must read this. Well, we know it, so there's no point opening to it. The book of Romans chapter 12. Paul said what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Be what? Transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. That's my emphasis. Conformity starts in the mind. That's my emphasis. It starts in the mind. It's that mind matter that's my message for today. Conformity starts in the mind. How you reason, how you interpret things, the things that you hold as the standard. People sometimes want to refuse to behave one way when they have the thoughts and beliefs that compels them to behave that way. What am I trying to say? Let me give an example now in the United States of... Well, now, let me just say something. It's not only the United States that's doing that thing, no. Sure, you know. It's just because they are the loudest, they are the richest. That's one country most people want to go to. They are in the forefront of world affairs. Because I was hearing the report of a survey done. And they said, this was about 10 years ago, that UK was the second most godless nation on the earth. The one that you want to go and raise your children in. Many Nigerians know, if I don't go to UK, I go die. They did, Reader's Digest did a study about 10 years ago, as at about 2003, thereabout, UK was said to be the second most godless nation on the surface of the earth, beaten only by Japan. That they are having, the person said they're having four generations now of people that have not gone to church. That is, their father did not go, their grandfather did not go, that it has reached that level. In the US, most people are not going to church now, at most first generation, second, you know, that is for those who are normal Americans, you know. But it's in the UK, they have reached the third generation. That many people there, that Jesus is not the problem, they don't know about God. If I was telling the story of a man who persuaded a young man to believe in God, and before he could not tell him about Jesus, the guy had become a Muslim. So I'm just saying that. So now, again, you know, I digress a lot. I hope you don't mind my digressions. We learn. This planning you want to plan for your children, I see people do it all the time. export their wife and children to Canada and to the U.S. and say that so that they can live a better life. I will say it simply. It is a very foolish thing. Many people will disagree. Look, that's one thing. Let me just say, people will disagree. But I've realized in this life, let those who want to agree have a reference at least. And let me say things that will make people have a reference. What is the issue? That you see, when you get there, things are well planned. Iniquity there is well planned. My friend who's there, my very good friend, all right? He lives there with his wife and his children. He said when his wife was pregnant, they go to clinic. And he hates the word partner. That the word husband, is it missing to you people? He said, but you see, he's a strange person being married to the woman he followed to clinic. The two out of three that come are not married. When this homosexuality began, they started writing partner one, partner two. Because the partner one can be Adam, partner two is Steve. Instead of Adam and Eve. Yet people tell me that, you see, it's a good place to raise your children. I'm sorry, with all due respect for whoever we want to disagree with this, I think you are not listening to yourself as a Christian. Please, I'm not saying don't go to UK, that's it so. But I'm saying that I would rather raise my children in Rwanda. As for raising them in Nigeria, I want a setting. I mean... Oh, I told my son, the other day we were talking, I said, Akinle, you will go to UNEC. It's not money that's the issue, just I like the idea. Go to UNEC, University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. You don't want to go to UNEC, go to UNIBEN. You don't want to go to UNIBEN, you want to go to private university, no problem. I send you to Covenant University. Even if I had a billion, you ain't going to Harvard, you ain't going to Princeton, you're not going to Yale, you ain't going nowhere. You have to become a man first under my watch. Then I'll now release you. But I cannot carry a teenager to a school where prayer is against the law. Like one of my brothers would say, this prosperity must not become a curse. Many people are using their money to buy problems later in life. Because you claim that you want to raise your children where water flows regularly. If you carry a buta up, it will flow. Don't worry about all of this. You know, I'm sorry to say, I'm digressing, but why do Christians make a big deal of nonsense? You are not an industrialist. You are worried about constant power supply. Is your head correct? You're not manufacturing anything. If I want to hear a problem of power supply, let me be talking to those who are manufacturing something. No, when you hear Christians talk sometimes, your stomach... No, I don't know about you. Maybe because of the way I've believed for a very long time. I've held these beliefs, I'm not kidding, no, that I remember consciously, all right, for at least 20 years. I've been talking like this. I used to quarrel with people. And believe me, Nigeria was not half as developed as it is right now, as far as I'm concerned. There were no phones. I mean, how do you know things like that? But I said, what is wrong with you? When I talk to people these days, I see the kind of thing they make a big deal of. And I'm looking at them. If you're in America now, you can build a house with mortgage. Are you a failure that you're looking for where things are easy? Is he that overcomes that's rewarded? Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't go out there and make things better for other people, but you cannot live your life based on comfort. No. You can't live your life based on comfort. I said it, Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was pleasant, you know what he did? He bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave at first labor. Anybody that runs around because something is comfortable always becomes a slave. Slavery is awaiting the man, the woman, that's running to places because of comfort. When you want to make a decision for your life, please, always ask yourself, what is the purpose for which I exist? How is this thing I'm trying to do going to further that purpose? I digress by starting to talk about the fact I see it a lot. People just say, you send your children to the second most godless nation on the earth. And what do you expect will happen when they grow up? I was listening to that message I was referring to earlier by David Paulson, and he said something. So once he went to preach in a factory in London there, somewhere in Britain there. And the man was disturbing him and trying to, he gave the man time to speak.
And the man said, listen, I'm as good a person as anybody. I'm a perfect neighbor. Go and ask my neighbors. I don't cause trouble. I do where I help the poor. He talked in all the good things we should commend. He said, but I don't go to church. So what is this your Christianity going to do in me when I'm this good already without your Christ? When I heard that, I said, it's a tough challenge for a preacher. But the Holy Spirit is tougher. David Paulson said, I'm sure you can say that, but your grandfather could never have said that. For a moment, you wonder what he's talking about. He said, you are okay because your father, your grandfather went to church. Wait for the generation of your children. That wait for the generation of your children. That your children are going to be mean, they are going to be violent, they are going to be heartless. That all these qualities you have described for me is because your father, your grandfather went to church. So after that, everybody shut up. They couldn't talk again. He said, when godliness disappears in one generation, goodness disappears in the next. You know what I'm going to tell you? When you are sending your children where you think things are good now, it's because the previous generation was godly. By the time your children grow in those communities, they will have to run. Mark my words. The generation that is godless today, next generation is going to be filled with violence. Mark those words. Because sometimes I sit down and think, I say, God, what's going on? You mean you just watch these kind of things happen? Then I begin to listen to messages and read the scriptures. And I let go and say, God, wait, let the thing play out. They will bite their fingers. Like I said, it's a digression. When you want to make your choices, make your decisions in life, please stop this nonsense of making it look as if you were given life so that you can have a car, buy a house, have a comfortable life. Don't think you are doing your children a favor if their spiritual content is not first and foremost in your mind when you are making decisions for them. I see Christian men, they will stay back in Nigeria. Where's husband? Where's wife? Where's children? Do you know there's a reason why God did not allow us to multiply by binary fission? You know, amoeba, paramecium, euglena. There's a reason. He was trying to create an atmosphere. He created it for you, you ruined it with your own hands. Am I giving you instructions, do this and do that? No, I'm giving you understanding. I'm saying when you want to make decisions, think. 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 Know that godliness is vital to your children. And don't forget one thing. Half of the influence in the lives of your children is what you give them. The other half, you know where they spend half of their life? School. In a whole week, a walking, that is a normal school session. In a whole week, how many hours do I spend with my children talking to them? But a teacher talks to them from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. During the breaks, other children talk to them. By the time they come back home, you know, they take a shower, eat, rest a bit, then start doing the homework. Before you know what's happening, they've slept again. The person that talks to them the most daily is the teacher. I think it should matter to you who is talking. I think it should matter to you. If you have a choice, choose people who talk correctly. You know, I like one thing Mike Murdock said in one of his messages I heard long ago. He said, those that transfer information also transfer prejudice. By the time a child is sitting down there, the heart is open. The teacher can pour anything. And the child is taught to open the heart to the teacher. So if you say God is good, the teacher says no. Mother Nature is responsible. That child has a conflict. You have to every day be working hard to correct those things. Why give yourself the work? That's why, listen, you can send your children to boarding house. I don't care. They are your children, not mine. But I think I have a house and there's boarding there. My reason is simple. At that age, No, listen, like I told you earlier, you can't keep the lives of your children, forever, keep under your watch, I believe in freeing children, gradually, but also at the appropriate time, Like, my son goes to school, comes back from school by himself, and I say, the world is dangerous. They better get used to it. You get my point? It's true. So I say, go to your church. Go and enter a bus. Your mates are at the bus station. Your father has a car, mother has a car. That's not why your life should spoil. Go to the bus station, my friend. When I was GSS, we used to sneak away from school. I'm not saying you should try it. If I catch you. when you are broke, I was in boarding house. When you are broke, you sneak home, go and look, steal something and eat, come back. And we'll try. This one, me and my friend. Great distances. The angel of God that was watching me, still, they never stopped. And once your children are born, they are allocated one angel each. Yeah, and those angels watch over them. Sometimes the children see them, they don't know they are angels, but they usually show up at difficult times. Suddenly the child is about to be bullied by some of his mates, and one man just says, "What are you doing?" A lot of times those men are angels, they are not human beings. That people will run away. What you need to do, pray for your children all the time. Always pray for them. But you see, there are statements you make before God, even the angels can't do anything. He tells God, the spiritual climate around this child is not important to me. You made a statement, God has to flow with it. So until it gets to a point where I think it is legitimate under God to let something... No, while it is my duty, I do my duty. When my children are young, I think I'm the best teacher. Their mother is the best teacher. The home climate is the best boarding house. I will board you here for a very long time. Then the time comes, I let you go. I will not let you go before that time comes. Until you're ready to be trained to what they call a man of war, you ain't going anywhere. You're staying with me. No, these are things that, when I announce people, just say, because you have money, go and ask Pastor Paul Adefarasi what happened to him and his brothers because his parents were rich. He tells the stories. His brother, as a teenager, had a flat, 2 cars, and $50,000 per annum pocket allowance in London. The boy went mental. I heard his testimony myself watching it like this. Their mother will serve God forever. You know why? God delivered all those boys for her. Man, don't use your hand to buy trouble. That's what I'm saying. Know who is pouring information into the hearts and the lives of your children. And as much as it depends on you, control it. You can't throw away your advantage. When the child will be raised to think that, one day something was good, nothing was good on the road. And then nothing just exploded. Bam! And the big bang. And became everything. And everything just rallied and became the monkey. And then one day the monkey changed his mind and became you. And you now had him. So your children don't understand that you are different from a monkey. My own is that if God gives you the opportunity to not let that happen, why do you want it to happen? That's just what I'm saying. Like I said, it's a digression. Back to my message. What is God looking for from you and me? That's the message for today. I was talking about what? Our thinking process. That is, I said that Romans chapter 12 said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said that is the main problem. What's our emphasis for now? We're not out there. We'll get there about preaching the gospel. We'll get there about spending money, giving money to the cause of the gospel. We'll get there. We'll talk about it. About living your life, with purpose and pursuing your purpose, your mission in life. We'll get there. But right now, what we are focusing on is that passive way of advancing the kingdom, which means you must be a true representative of the kingdom you want to advance. And what Satan tries to do is to make you conform. I took it a while again to emphasize to Christians that Satan doesn't have the kind of power they think he has. What he tries to do is to make you conform. By that conformity, what he does is to pollute you. Once you are polluted, you are useless. That's why we read from that Revelation chapter 17. We said, those who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and last of all, faithful. Many are called, few are chosen. Those chosen people, that is the issue. Satan guns for them, trying to pollute them. Jesus was called. He was chosen, we know, because this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's when the Lord said, this one I have chosen him. After that, he now went to the wilderness. And Satan now said, what do we do? This guy is too powerful. He's going to ruin everything we have labored for all these years. So what do? We pollute him. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He went after him. Turn your stones to bread. Jesus refused. Bow down and worship me. Jesus refused. Jump down from here and make a name for yourself. The Lord refused. Based upon the word of God. What was he doing? He was maintaining his purity. I said something last time. Let me say it again. If our righteousness is intact, God can do anything he wants to do with our lives. Before, I would sit down and be wondering, you know, I don't know how many of you, of course, all of us, I'm sure we have done it. You've gone into the jungles in East here. If you are from the North, you won't understand. Or Middle Belt. There's no jungle there. Eastern Nigeria, you know, tropical rainforest. I said, so you mean a white man left England and came here to preach the gospel? Man, those guys are tough. They will arrive, malaria will kill some people. And the next batch will still come. What are they looking for? I look at a man like Abraham. You did not have any son. You had him when you were 100 years old. 15, 17 years later, this God that gave you the child said, of all the things he wanted on this earth is you to kill that child. And this Abraham took... Some of us can't kill our certificate. Do you know that? He said, you know how long my father has been waiting for this thing? Yeah, this man was willing to sacrifice his only son. That is his promised child, Isaac. Then you look at it and say, how did a man accept to do that? They said, Daniel, don't pray. I mean, what is the big deal? How many of you even pray here regularly? And I just told a man, don't just pray for us. It's not 30 days. And you know the funny thing? You could pray in your heart too. Daniel could just lie down in his bed. In fact, you can even whisper, put your pillow over your head. Would anybody know? Put pillow over your head and say, Father, they say we shouldn't pray. Don't mind this. I hope you can hear me through this cover. You know, Daniel was kind of, you must understand, if you see a lot of Islam these days, it's very similar to Judaism. So it's like telling a Muslim, don't pray. You know, a Muslim can't pray in his heart. You get what I'm saying? He has to kneel down and bow his head towards the east. And that's what Daniel used to do. He used to open the door towards Jerusalem. That's how he knew to pray. And he knew they were going to throw him the lion's den. And what did he do? He still prayed. And they caught him. And they threw him into the lion's den. My question is, when I watch all of these things, I used to think, then what made these men do these things? Then finally, after many years of contemplating, the Lord gave me an answer, which was what I wrote in the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That book was not written on how to get money. It was not written so that you know how to download any blessing from heaven. No, it was a faith to obey God that was explaining. Now, how did these people do it? I found out that it was not them. It was the Spirit that entered into them and set them on their feet. What am I trying to emphasize? God is at work in you, both to will and to do. I realize that if your heart is right and you are in that same situation, the same Spirit that made Abraham get up to go and sacrifice Isaac, we also come into you and you also get up and sacrifice your own Isaac. If your heart is right, if righteousness is your portion, that's what I said last time, when God was coming to walk and raise his army on the earth, he didn't start by teaching them military methods, how to walk. He started by making them righteous. Everybody he calls into his army, he calls from the point of righteousness. He said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You cannot become a believer except you believe. And based on that faith, you are made righteous. What was God saying? Once I get that one right, then every other thing is doable. It's like I have the password to their computer. I can program anything. So Satan said, what do? I corrupt it. It's to prevent the Spirit of God from flowing. You know, all these self-help books we read in this life, I realize that most of them, nonsense. Most of them causing confusion. They want you to use your own energy to do what God will have done inside you by himself. God said, that's how you help yourself. No, I said, labor to enter into my rest. That's how you should do my. He said, no. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will work my things in your life. You see all these people you see, maybe Mark Zuckerberg, at the age of 27, he's a billionaire. There's no wisdom to becoming a billionaire at 20. Time and chance happens to everybody. Time and chance. 99% of those that labor like Mark Zuckerberg are poor. I hope you know that. 99% at least. I read a quote from the mouth of Harrison Ford many years ago. He said, no one can truly take credit for anything. He said, there's luck, there's chance, and there's grace. The man understood. This was a man who made it in the movie industry. But he too, he had failed. He was 40-something when he gave up on acting. He became a carpenter so as to be able to keep body and soul together. Well, while he was doing his carpentry, making sets for them in the movie industry, somebody come and do this Indiana Jones thing. I think you can do it. And the thing made it. It now became the Harrison Ford that people know. If Julia Roberts signed, I don't know about now, as a few years ago, when she signs to do a movie, just come to an agreement. You are doing this movie. Yes, you are the star actress in there. As soon as she signs, they give her a check for $20 million. Sign-up fee, $20 million U.S. dollars. So many young girls want to become actors. What they don't know is that the average salary, according to George Clooney, who was the chairman of the Guild of Actors in America at that time when I read it, George Clooney said the average salary for the actors in America was $10,000 a year. When they say average, it means they have added $20 million of Julia Roberts to it and found the average. And it came to $10,000 a head. What does that tell you? Most actors and actresses in America are very poor. They live below the minimum wage. What am I trying to say? Don't let these self-help books deceive you. 99% of those who use those principles fail. When you're a believer, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. Then God can now pour his spirit inside you and do anything through you. That's what I'm talking about. Not a big example, but an important one. The year I came to Enugu was the first time in my life I thought of coming to Enugu. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, by the time I was married my wife, we didn't agree that one day we'll go to Enugu and go and start a ministry. Nothing. We married in 99, December. The thought of going to Enugu had not come to our minds. It was sometime in the year 2000. Oh, let's make a long story short. By September that year, I was in Enugu. Where I will be next year, I don't need to think about it. One day I will find out that I have reached there. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. Where you will be, if you walk with God, that's how I'm talking about God raising his army. He's not raising smart people. He's not raising those who know how to plan. Most people that know how to plan themselves out of the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not. He's raising those who are pure in heart. Once he has done that, he can pour anything into them. You see a quiet man, quiet woman today. You see him or her next year. You say, I'm an apostle to Islamic countries. He said, they will kill you. He said, let them confess. He'll be doing open air crusades in Islamic countries. You know, you will be afraid for him. Say, not this guy. He used to be very quiet those days. When did he become a troublemaker like this? It's not him. A spirit has entered into him. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. So Satan knows this thing. Even if he didn't know it before, he came to listen. But don't worry, he knows. So that's why his strategy is different. He's only, let me block the flow. Let me block the flow. Let me cut it. That's his strategy. And how does he do it? He brings forth the opportunities to conform. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, our energy must be spent on, I will not conform. And I said the message for today, you know, I think many people needed to follow my train of thoughts. That's why I had to go over that. And the message for today is that the first place where the conforming thing starts from is in the mind. That's why I gave the quotation, that if you cannot see anything wrong with what God calls sin, then you are blind. What do I mean? Your thinking process. Paul said, we cast down imagination, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I was giving an example. You know, that's why I digress into talking about your children and all of that. You know this homosexual agenda. If you notice, I hardly use the word gay. I don't know whether you notice it. Watch it carefully. I hardly do. It's deliberate. I hardly use the word gay. It's deliberate. In fact, just by the way, the first pope to use the word gay is the current pope. All the other popes refused to use the word gay. This is what I'm talking about. It. You know why? It was a deliberate ploy on the side of those guys to make it look normal. You grew up homosexuality, you were told was bad. The whole nation understood, the whole world got that point. So they said the first thing we do is to change the minds of people. So they changed the word gay. It's a nice word. The word gay just means you are happy, you are light, you know, you are happy, you know, you are bright. Things are okay. You know, the party can be gay, that everybody was happy, you know. No, now it's a gay party. Eh? You went to a gay party. But those days, if you went to a gay party, just means that, you know, the musician played well, the food was good, the drink was good, we danced very well. But now it's a gay party. Say, oh, mo. These guys deliberately, they just brought out the words, swapped the words. So they are no longer homosexuals, they are gay. What are they trying to do? Trying to teach the young people that there's nothing wrong with it. That homosexuals are just a uniquely happy group of people. They are not sick. When I was a medical student, it was a disorder of object. And they pulled it out and said, no, it's another choice. What am I explaining? They were working on the minds of people. Look, it's those who don't understand spiritual dynamics. They'll just be following for many things. They work on the minds of people. And that's what I'm talking about. Therefore, you must guard your mind. Guard your heart with all diligence. The mind is the door to the heart, if you understand those two words. The mind is how you decode things. How things make sense to you. Do you get my point? For example, if you see a man, okay, let us assume now he's coming. Okay, yeah, this is it. You see a guy drive up wearing very nice clothes, comes out in an S500, Mercedes-Benz. Your mind instantly thinks he's a multimillionaire. Now, that's what they call mind. Mind is how you decode. I mean, that's a child doesn't think it's real. A child doesn't think he has a car and it's shiny. That's all. But an adult's mind is trained to join it together and say, the car is expensive to maintain. He's wearing very nice clothes. He must be earning a lot of money. That's what they call mind. So how do you decode things? So those guys, what they did to give you a word gay, to make your mind decode it not as perversion, but as a happy man. What am I saying? One area where you must never, listen, as a child of God, please, that's what I'm explaining. You must, first of all, ensure that your mind is guarded, is protected, so that you don't think like the world thinks. Listen, I said something to you before. That you know Eve could not disobey God until Satan made her mind change. Open the book of Genesis. Let me just show you something. I want you to see with your own eyes. You get my point. Like I said, my message today is your thinking, the way you reason. I was making a statement earlier. I didn't finish making it because I interrupted myself trying to explain something. Now, many times people are fighting. They are fighting the outward behavior because of what they have been taught. And they find it very hard to succeed. And the reason is because their minds have not been changed. They are trying to change their behavior when their mind is somewhere else. For example, until as a child of God, you realize that I don't have plenty of money is not a sign of failure. The temptation to steal will always be high in your heart. It is not about, I will not steal. In Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. No. The first thing is, you must be like Paul. I must learn how to abound and how to abase. It's not stealing that's the issue. Are you getting my point? Covetousness is what leads to stealing. And covetousness is a way you perceive the environment around you. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Do you gravitate, for example, towards people that look to you successful? You smile, look, like, listen, oh, I will still read this. One of the things I have learned in life is the premise upon which you respect people. One I don't ever use, God has helped me with it, is I never, ever, thank you Lord for it, respect you because you are rich. I respect your age. I respect what you represent in the society. For example, if you're a governor, you are a ruler amongst the people. I'm commanded to show you respect. If I get to a class, let me give an example. In my children's school, anytime I see any of the teachers, I call them auntie. Even if I'm older than you, you are auntie. Why? You are the teacher of the children. I have to show you respect in their presence. The auntie that comes to my house, I think I'm older than she is. But I don't call her Ijoma. It's always Auntie Ijoma. Why? I'm addressing her in the presence of the children. You understand? It's how they continue to respect her. You know, you live put her on that platform. You are rich, is your problem. You know why I'm saying this? If you respect people because of money, you are covetous, you will steal. That's what I'm trying to say. You will steal. People don't know what controls their behavior. It's not, do I want to steal or I don't want to steal? What controls your behavior is, do I think highly of people that have money or I don't? Because that thing is spiritual. A lot of these young boys that commit armed robbery, it is because anytime they see a man with a big car, they are intimidated. Money intimidates them. Oh God, I worship you. Long ago, I was taught. In fact, one of our sisters spoke to me a few days ago. He said, Banky, you're lucky, in quotes. He said, God liberated you early. We're talking about some things. He said, you know this area? You were liberated very early. He said, some of us, it took a while. We used to think these people were lucky. He said, those days, somebody drives a car, we are intimidated. I don't know how the Lord did it, but he did it for me very early. Very, very early. Somebody's material prosperity has never bothered me or made me wish. I don't know whether I get my point. It doesn't. Look, those days when we're all trekking, if any of my friends brought a car, it was, hey, man, see ride. Yeah, give me the kick. It's joy and gladness. I will be going around. Some people will, their spirits will be depressed. God, you have not yet remembered me. What is God's memory got to do with this one? I mean, look, listen. Me, I don't do anything to impress anybody in that area. No. I was talking with, who was it the other day? I said, one thing I like about my wife is something like that. My wife, not that is not sent. That one, I give that one to my wife. 100%. No, everybody gets some areas where 1,000%. No, that show off thing, never. Ah, God, in my family, not there. In Jesus' name, it's not in your life, too. Amen. Now, just for your information, it's not a natural thing, though. It was blessed of the word of God. Yes, I learned to make my boast in the Lord. He said, I learned long ago, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the wise one boast in his wisdom. Let him that boast in one thing, that he knows me. I learned that one long ago. Anything I do for myself, not to impress you at all. In fact, I want you to think lowly of me so that I will surprise you. Genesis chapter 3. It said, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. And he came to the woman and said, indeed has God said, verse 1, that's where I am, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now, please notice something. The woman said to the serpent, we can eat for anyone, but then the one that's in the middle, we can't eat and we can't touch. Then verse 4, the serpent now began to explain.
you will not surely die. For God, now notice this, he's changing her mind, he's changing her thinking process. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now please notice verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, let me stop here. I want to bring out a principle here. You will notice something. The tree had been by her every day. I can assure you of one thing. She thought the tree was horrible. You look at the fruit. Why is it shaped like that? Then Satan sat and began to explain things to her. Then suddenly she realized that, at least she thought so, that anything will make you wise. And because of the wisdom, the God-likeness that was promised, she looked at the tree again. Suddenly, she saw that the tree was good for food. And that it was, notice this, a delight to the eyes. Suddenly, it's beautiful. Why? Satan had changed her mind about the result of eating it. Then her system reconditioned itself. Suddenly, the thing looked very nice. That's the point I'm making. That is why, unless you first curb, that is, the desires of your heart, where it is heading towards, what will have cured her is simple. Desire to be like God and to be wise, able to personally distinguish between that which is good and evil, should never be paramount in her heart. What should have been paramount in her heart is that I want to be pleasing to God. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Listen, in this life, that is the only thing that will protect you from the temptations of Satan. That's why, listen, that's why when the world is trying to bring God, like this homosexual thing in America and all of that, all they have are arguments, studies, scientific studies, you know, research that was done. A good Christian should just say, listen, all this one you're saying, it makes no sense to me. God said, that ends the discussion. Are you getting what I'm explaining here? What happened to this woman? The moment her thinking process was altered, so that she now thought that this thing is going to produce this result, suddenly what was in it changed. The appearance changed. Suddenly, what the color she did not like before, she suddenly liked it. Listen, there is an explanation for everything you like in life. You may not know the explanation, but there is. You may just look at any time I see this color. I just like it. Believe me, there is an explanation. Those who do food business, they've learned it that if you want a food to sell, there are colors you don't paint it, like you're manufacturing. Blue is one of them. And you know why? He said, think about it. There's only one edible thing on the earth that's colored blue. On the whole earth. And Nigerians have never seen it. So to you, there's nothing that's edible naturally now that's blue. He said there's only one, blueberries. And blueberries are not found around here. And that's the human mind. So the human mind is not conditioned to link blue with something that's palatable. So if you want to manufacture food, don't paint it blue, please. There is nothing you like on this earth that doesn't have a reason. The only thing that you may not know the reason. What am I preaching? If you want to spread the kingdom of God on this earth, we must be true expressions of that kingdom. And the first place where you will walk on place is how you reason. Because that's what controls every other thing in your life. That is it. That is why he says, guard your heart with all diligence. Be quick to disagree with everything that disagrees with the word of God. Don't accept it in your heart. I've heard of pastors who are counseling single girls. If the man is nice, it doesn't matter even if he's not a Christian. After all, many Christians are not nice. They don't tell you about guys who are nice. I've heard of pastors say that. Now, I'm trying to say something. Now, this pastor saying this may have married a Christian woman. However, his thought process is going to afflict those who listen to him. What he's saying, truly, is every Christian man nice? You think so? They're not nice. The one beside you is probably not nice. Actually, men are not nice until they marry. They learn to be nice. Single ladies, hear this. Guys are not nice until they marry. That's not the scripture. That's my experience. You say why? It takes time to learn how to be nice. If my wife is pregnant now, and say she wants to eat moe moe that's colored blue, you know, I'll go and look for it. But 10 years ago, she tried it. I left her in the car and walked away. She didn't want blue moe moe, just wanted moe moe that's cooked with other crayfish or corn beer. She go and buy it. And she was heavily pregnant. I said, are you all right? And I left her in the car and walked into the house. God, forgive me for that. I won't do it again today. You know, you learn. You know, you get my point? Yes. So, ladies, these guys, they can't be nice. How can they be? Have they married before? It's you they will use to experiment and learn what is good and what to distinguish between that which is good or evil. They are not nice. It's not because they are bad, though. They don't know how to do it. And if they don't mind that, she's very, very unreasonable. She knows how much I earn. Look at those comments. If you ask him, one of my friends said, Banky, that's not how they do it. That's not how they do it. So when his wife says, honey, say what? I like a skyscraper. He said he doesn't worry. He said he'll rub her back and say, oh, sweetheart, a skyscraper. You deserve even more. And I look at me, I'm your husband. You will get 2 skyscrapers. He said, Black, that is the end of the discussion on skyscrapers. He said, where am I going to get the money from? He said, the fact is that she knows I can't afford a skyscraper. He said, but I will ruin everything if I demand that she sees reason. So what I just said, skyscraper, don't worry. When the law brings it, you number one on the agenda, your skyscraper. He said, we will never talk about it again in life. He said, she's happy. There's peace. Everybody's happy. He said, when you start reasoning too much, now, what am I going to say? He learned that through the things that he suffered. He too quiet for years. Yeah, so after a while, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, and I said, oh, no. She really doesn't want a skyscraper. She wants me to be willing to give her a skyscraper. I said, I will always be willing. Am I not your husband? Now, what am I emphasizing? The men are not nice. They can't be nice until they learn. So please marry him like that, all right? Okay, I hope I helped 2 people this night. He said, no, I like him. He's praised very well. He shares the word with me. And, you know, he's responsible. But he's not nice. At least now, you can give him an answer tomorrow. Because that niceness that was the problem, I have solved it. Yes, it was because of you we preached that message. Don't worry. Go home, call him. Tell him that there's an important matter. I should see you after church tomorrow. So it's well with you in Jesus' name. It may take a while for him to learn the niceness, but if you tell him to be seeing me and talking to me more regularly, you'll start enjoying him after 3 years. First 3 years, forget it, you're on your own. But after 3 years, life will be sweet for you. Okay? Now, what am I talking about? Let's get back to my message. So this is what I'm making. The man who is saying that he's speaking out of experience is true. Many men are not nice. Many unbelievers are nice, especially because they've had to chase women. They've learned all the bad habits of deceiving people. And the deliverance for you is simple. Don't walk according to how you feel. Just walk according to what is written. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. No matter how nice he is, if he's an unbeliever, he's an unbeliever. Think that thought. Let that thought consume you. Don't realize that walking in the will of God is more important than marrying a nice man. Nice men can be demon possessed. Yes, they can be. Niceness is not a qualification. Godliness is the matter. Faith is the matter. Why? Because if the heart is right, the Holy Spirit will possess him. I've been married for 16, it will be 16 years in December. I'm a nicer guy now than 16 years ago. My wife is rejoicing every day that she married me now. That time she used to wonder, why did I even marry him? He uses his sweet preaching to deceive me. But
But now, you see, because of righteousness, because of respect for the word of God, I am not the man I used to be. Are you getting my point? She's not the woman she used to be. And that's the good thing about righteousness. Righteousness does not mean I'm always right, I know everything. Righteousness means I'm rightly related with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm rightly relating with the word of God. That word enters me and makes me into anything. What am I trying to use that to explain? Be careful what you agree with. If God says something is bad, no matter how it feels to your body, agree it is bad. If it feels very, very good, all right, agree in your mind it is bad. If the whole world says it is right, agree first of all in your heart that it is bad. What's the point I've made? Listen, when we're talking about advancing the kingdom of God, the first thing is that we must truly represent that kingdom. And the first place we represent that kingdom is in how we think. Please don't let the world conform you to its way of thinking. Don't let them give you the same standards of success, same standards of who is rich, who is poor, same standard of who is doing well, who is not doing well. You must never agree with it. The man that has a lot of money can be poor as far as God is concerned. You go for true riches. Don't ever focus on material things as a sign that somebody is prosperous. That is what we are talking about. I hope you are getting my point here. If God says this is not a mark of success, even preachers sometimes they fall for it. A big church is a mark of success. That man is doing well now. Why? They just finished their church, 2,000 seater capacity. How does that mean he's doing well? People who tell lies build faster. I hope you know that. If one mafia don joins his church and the man starts blessing the mafia don, he can build a 10,000 seater capacity. My friend Pastor Chukuma said when he was in West Africa, Sierra Leone, or one of those countries, Nigerian boys that were there doing crime, they joined his church. And every day he would be denouncing crime. They were saying this pastor is not wise. So finally one day he came to church and drove all of them away. If you're in this church, I will not repent. God punish you. Get out of here. So they said, okay, this man is not smart. They left and went to a church opposite him. And in a few months, they finished building that church for that man. Who's doing well now? Depending on how you are judging. But guess what? I won't tell you the name of the denomination, but their big oga, either general overseer or bishop or prelate, whatever name you call him, had to come from Nigeria to build out that pastor out of prison when problems broke out. That man went to jail. Are you getting my point? So listen, the mark of success for us must be different. That is what controls whether we steal or we don't. It's not whether we want to steal or not. It's what we consider success. I hope you have gotten my point. I think I can stop it here. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, okay, let's bow down our heads and just begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.